This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Marco Rubio insisting that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was not shut out of talks about ending the war in his country.
No one is being sidelined here, but President Trump is in a position that he campaigned on to initiate a process that could bring about an end to this conflict.
Rubio making the comments after talks between U.S. officials and their Russian counterparts. European nations and officials from Kyiv not included in the opening negotiations of those peace talks. Hamas says it will release 6 living Israeli hostages this weekend and turn over the bodies of 4 Israeli hostages who have died as a part of the next step in Gaza ceasefire negotiations. A Delta jet flipping onto its roof while landing in Toronto on Monday. John Nelson was one of the 80 people on board.
Everybody was quiet for like a moment or two, and then everybody was trying to like scramble to make a sense of what just had happened. And so we released the seatbelts that kind of fell to the floor, which is now the ceiling.
This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Dangerous wind chills will continue through Wednesday with frostbite possible in as little as 10 minutes. What's happening is your skin cells are literally freezing and dying. Signs include pain, numbness, swelling, blisters, and skin discoloration. It's most common on your fingers, toes, nose, and ears. Frostbite can lead to permanent, irreversible damage. So limit your time outdoors, wear a face mask, scarf, gloves, and hat. If you believe that you have frostbite, get inside quickly, warm up slowly. Never rub the areas that can damage the tissue even further. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has introduced legislation to cap the cost of prescription drugs for millions. According to a press release, the Capping Prescription Cost Act would place a limit on out-of-pocket cost for prescription drugs of $2,000 per year for individuals and $4,000 for families with private insurance. A similar measure was passed through the Inflation Reduction Act for senior citizens. Senator Baldwin says studies have shown 31% of people who need medication weren't taking it because of cost. State Republicans are proposing a bill that would help Wisconsin schools install and maintain water filters. The draft bill calls on school boards to develop plans to manage the drinking water to ensure students will not be exposed to things like lead or PFAS, which have been linked to negative health effects, especially in children. Governor Tony Evers has expressed support for the legislation, saying it seems to be in line with his efforts to promote safe drinking water in schools. Funding for the filters could come from previous PFAS legislation. A Wisconsin Town Association meeting will be held tomorrow night at 6 at the Boaz Community Building. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's the Badgers in Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Tonight at the Kohl Center, it's Wisconsin against the Fighting Illini. Now, the last time these two teams met, Illinois won 86-80. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation. Head basketball coach Greg Gard on tonight's game.
Yeah, I think we're better on both ends of the floor. But obviously a really good team, a lot of talent. You know, when they're playing well, they're really, really good. So it's going to be a challenge for us and a good measuring stick to see where we have come from early December.
Number 16th ranked Marquette at home tonight in Milwaukee against Seton Hall. Baseball in Arizona. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked about 22-year-old Jefferson Cairo coming back from surgery, and Murph is excited about the young catcher's future.
He's the right kid. He's got the right makeup, the right approach to the game. But coached well, parented well, because that dude's special. Just mark it down. When I'm around a great one, and I can smell it. He smells like he's going to be a great one.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny and frigid yet again. A high near 3 above. Wind chill values as cold as 30 to 35 below. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 11 below. Wind chill values all the way down to negative 25. Stay warm, stay safe. Current temperature, 4 below.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes, there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Jim Flanagan and veterans advocate and founder of Arizona Warriors, Jason Moon, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine and my dining room in Milwaukee. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Jam-packed show for you today. Representative Mark Pocan will be joining us after the 10:30 news. I don't know, Greg, I feel we have a little bit to talk about with Representative Pocan. Just a couple of things we will be kicking around, including the Trump administration looking at Medicaid. It's going to affect a lot of folks. Yep. And I would imagine some folks who are listening right now. So I hope you can stick around and listen to our discussion with Mr. Pocan coming up right after the 10:30 news. Next hour after 11:06, James Vanderloo, who is the head of the Milwaukee branch of the OEC group, is going to be joining us to talk tariffs and what he has been hearing from clients and how they are reacting to the news that Donald Trump is going to be instituting tariffs. It looks like he's working to tariff everybody.
Yeah, anyone who's outside the U.S., everyone, you get a tariff. We're like the Oprah of tariffs. You get a tariff. Yes, you get a tariff. Everyone gets a tariff.
Exactly. So we will be talking about tariffs with James Vanderloo. He has been on the show many times before. Very insightful. I hope you will stick around for that. We will lighten things up in the last half hour of the show, as we always do, what we call our audio sorbet. Everybody can take a breath a little bit and lighten it up. We're going to talk about what's the movie that you are embarrassed to admit that you like.
Okay.
We all have one.
Yeah. We might have a few.
We all have one.
We might have a few.
So be thinking about which movie it is that you are embarrassed to admit that you liked. We all will share ours with you after the 11:30 news. We'll wrap it all up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the I've Got My Eye on You edition. So stick around for that. It is Tuesday, February 18th. The average price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin is $3.18. No change since Monday. The average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $5.86. That is also the same as it was yesterday. Just a programming note, tonight Governor Evers will be giving his address that starts around 7 o'clock, and our very own friend and colleague Todd Alba will be hosting that coverage, so you can catch that across the Civic Media Radio Network. Governor Evers and his address tonight at 7 p.m. A couple of things we wanted to start off with, though. It's really nasty cold out there.
Oh, my goodness. It's 2 here.
You're up to 2.
Yeah, it was 10 below when I got here this morning, and I thought if it's 10 below here when I was on the show with Pat, who's up in Chippewa Falls, if it's 10 below in Racine, it's worse up north, and it was. It is so dang cold right now.
Yeah, it absolutely is. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the wind chill in Milwaukee to hit 20 below Tuesday before another cold snap overnight. So this isn't done yet. We have a couple of more days. I did hear Brittany Merlot yesterday when she was on with you and Pat, And she did say Monday we're looking at 40 degrees.
Yeah, and we're looking at Thursday and Friday and Saturday of highs in the upper 20s, low 30s. So we'll at least be in the teens by the end of the week, which is, you know, as any Wisconsinite knows, you hit like that 10 below, 20 below zero. 19 feels like a party on a tropical island.
Oh, there's going to be people in shorts.
Yep.
And certainly by Monday, if it's 40 degrees on Monday, we look for shorts and flip-flops among the snowbanks. But please, please be careful. I had a brief walk this morning that I was not expecting.
Yeah, you, which led you to be home today.
Yes, from my home in undisclosed location, my dining room on in northwestern Milwaukee. So I head out for work this morning about, as I always do, it's about 6:25 and I hit the road and I had gassed up yesterday, full tank. You know, I knew it was going to be cold and I'm not more than 10 minutes from my house. And all of a sudden the check engine light comes on, the swervy symbol with your wheels, that comes on. And then my cruise control is blinking off and on. I never use my cruise control. I think my car is 13 years old. I probably used it three times in all the years that I've had it. Cruise control is not something that I use.
Not me either.
And all I could think of was I can see myself halfway down to work and it's going to lock into cruise control and I'm not going to be able to get it off.
Yeah. Maybe it was just your car's way of saying, put me back in the garage. I'm so cold. That's
so reassuring.
Not good when the expert in the field said, oh, that's not good.
That's not good. It's not good. So this is why I am home. Hopefully that will be rectified. But I have jury duty tomorrow as well.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Am I lucky?
Yes, I love jury duty. I do. I genuinely.
How many times have you been called for jury duty?
I've been only twice. Isn't that a shame?
That seems high, actually.
Yeah, I've been called twice.
I was called in as an alternate once before, and then this is only the second time, and I've lived in Milwaukee for years.
I got
this is only the second time I've been called.
Oh, man, I'm so jealous. I got called years ago, and they you know, I just stayed in a waiting room, watch Must Love Dogs with John Cusack, and then they said, go home. I'm like, oh, okay. And then the second time they called me, I got on a jury, and it was amazing.
Was it really?
It really was. It was really, I tell people this all the time. Well, not all the time, but anyone who will listen, my jury duty experience, our trial was, I feel, the best, one of the best examples of what happens in the justice system as far as, you know, innocent until proven guilty, evidence beyond a shadow of a doubt, the whole thing. We like ran through the gamut and we had a hung jury on one of the counts and the judge was like, you must make a decision. And we're like, more pizza then. And so it was funny because they said, this isn't going to be like Law and Order. And it was kind of like Law and Order.
I was wondering about that.
Without the major crimes. There was no murder or anything around that area. It was assault, but not like, you know,
I still think, though, in every jury proceeding, they should use the dun-dun from Law and Order just to kind of set the stage.
All gavels should just be outfitted so now they don't make the slap-slap noise. It just goes gong-gong. Exactly. And then we go into the...
Yeah, I'm sure I'll suggest that tomorrow when they're questioning me on whether or not I should be on
Your
the
Honor,
jury.
I have some notes for you.
I have some thoughts to make it a whole lot more fun. I think this would just... more people would want to do this if you just made these couple tweaks. Yeah, I'll try that. So Greg is going to be handling the show tomorrow while I am on jury duty. And I see that the wonderful Pat Kreitlow is going to join you.
He will be joining us. We're going to be talking about probably the results of today's elections, as well as we were actually discussing this morning. And I want to talk to him about what he'd like to discuss. But I would like to actually further the conversation we had this morning about just what we do to combat misinformation, what we do to, we see it on our live stream and we see it in the text, people sending us information that is clearly untrue. And what do we do to get the truth out there? And I think that's something that we can even talk to Mark Buchanan about. How do we combat all of this stuff going on? How do we stand up and say something and make sure it's right and true?
We have an interesting clip from Jesse Waters, of all people, who's on the network that was fined almost $1 billion for lying to its audience.
Yep.
I actually agree with him.
Yes.
This might be the first time in history, but Jesse Waters actually had pains me to say this, a very insightful comment about information.
Yeah.
We call it misinformation. He would call it information that we're going to play for Representative Mark Pocan. So should be an interesting discussion. Again, stick around for that. I did go vote this morning before I dropped off my car, and I was number two.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not,
it's primary election day.
Spring primary election day. It's
spring primary election day. I know it's not a sexy election.
Yeah.
There's no Senate race. There's no Supreme Court race. There's no presidential race. They're still really, really important.
We talk about this a lot on the show, and we talk about this a lot on many shows. You know, we know that the presidential races and the governor races, those are all important. They are important. They are, absolutely. But these are races that affect your street. These are, you know, the superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin coming up in April. These are elections that are going to make an effect on you here in your town. And if you have, like, I have a school board election on mine as well. That's important too. I don't have kids. I don't have one in school, but I want Kenosha to have great schools, and I want people to be on the board who are going to make the right decisions for everyone, because those decisions affect all of us. Yes. So it's really important to get out there.
The direct impact, again, I know the bigger races are the ones that people turn out for, but it is, as you said, Greg, it's these smaller races that really have almost an immediate direct impact on people who are casting their ballots, which is why I don't want to say we harp on it, but we harp on it. Please be a voter.
Yep.
It's truly very important. You can still vote even if you're not registered. Go to myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address, and that's going to give you all of the information that you need, including if you are not registered and you would like to vote today, on what you need to do in order to make that happen. The biggest race on the ballot, as you mentioned, Greg, is for the head of Department of Public Instruction. There are three people running, including the incumbent, Jill Underlie. She's facing challengers Sauk Prairie Superintendent Jeff Wright and also Brittany Kinzer, who claims she's a moderate, but she's very big about school choice and voucher schools. And again, I question why someone who seems to want to eliminate public instruction should be the head of the Department of Public Instruction.
That's a quandary there, Jane.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like when Betsy DeVos was at the head of the Department of Education under the first Trump administration. Her whole goal was to dismantle the Department of Education.
Yep. And they're going to work towards it. And the more people they have in positions of power, state and local, the federal will utilize that for their ultimate goal, which is to collapse the Department of Education. And they have said that outright.
And to kill public schools.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate goal. All right. Some big, big money pouring into Wisconsin for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We'll kick that around when we return. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
From the center, WRCE.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created created more than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Join us on Blue Sky. It's much nicer over there. Representative Mark Pocan is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. We have a lot of things to talk about, including this just came out right before we went on the air. Louis DeJoy now looking at who should succeed him. I know.
Okay.
Now that Trump is installed, apparently there's no reason for him to stick around
anymore. I want to get the top three list from Mark Pocan, who he thinks should succeed Louis DeJoy.
Mark, I think Representative Pocan might have some thoughts
on
that.
Exactly.
But Mark Pocan joining us after the 10:30 news. Stay close for that. I meant to mention this at the top of the hour when we were talking about the cold weather around here. Kentucky just got crushed.
Yeah.
Now, the death toll in Kentucky is up to 14. They were hit by crazy flooding over the weekend that took the lives of at least 14 people. And now they are dealing with a winter storm.
Jeez.
So if you would like to help out the victims of these of this flooding in Kentucky, I would suggest the American Red Cross.
Yeah.
That's a good place to go if you'd like to make a donation. So consider that to help out the people in Kentucky. I heard Governor Andy Beshear this morning, and it's just disastrous. Again, they had all of this flooding. They haven't recovered from that yet, and now they're dealing with this winter storm that's going to go into tomorrow, which is only going to exacerbate the mess. So consider donating to the Red Cross to help out the folks in Kentucky if you can. Wanted to talk about this briefly before we get to the news. An Elon Musk-backed group, this from Daniel Bison, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, buys at least $670,000 of TV time to support Brad Schimmel. Republican Brad Schimmel, former attorney general, running against Susan Crawford for the opening spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Musk, we knew that he was going to do this. He had mentioned this last month, maybe even earlier, that they need this Wisconsin Supreme Court so they can reverse, I would assume, the fairer maps that we just got. And I would think it's also an opportunity for them to enshrine, should Brad Schimmel be elected, to make sure that we go back to that 1849 abortion ban, which includes no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother.
Yeah, don't let Brad Schimmel fool you. He will do all those things. He might seem like a level-headed dude, but he is not. And I cannot tell you how angry I get. Mad enough when you talk about Diane Hendricks on the E-lines. Elon Musk coming into our state and throwing down a nothing amount of money to him. A nothing.
That's lunch.
It's lunch. It's in his couch cushions. It doesn't. That's burnable money. and he's going to try to influence our election because he's got a chip on his shoulder. He thinks he's full of power, and no, he does not belong in this state. He does not belong in this election. Stay out of it. Stay out of it.
It's interesting, though, when I was on Twitter last night looking at some of the reactions about this when this news broke, there are all kinds of people who are delighted by this.
Of course there are.
Good, go get them. George Soros has been doing this for... George Soros has been buying our elections for decades. Now it's finally time for the right to fight back. And that's kind of how they're embracing this. Again, I don't understand what they believe Brett Schimmel is going to do that is going to make things so wonderful. Again, unless it's about reversing the fairer maps, which were just instituted, and ensuring that women have no choice if they have trouble with their pregnancies. I just don't think they care about women. I really, really don't.
Well, you also take a step back and look at it. Why do they get to complain every single day, whining and sniveling like a bunch of babies about George Soros, when Elon Musk is, and the Elines, and Diane Hendricks, and all of the other ones who put their money in, are just the same. But it's absolutely okay for them to do it. It's okay for them to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on Wisconsin elections. But the moment George Soros comes in, oh my gosh, the liberal agenda, Jane, the liberal agenda. It's disgusting and rotting us from within.
And this goes back to what we've said for more than a year. Rules for thee, but not for me.
Never. No, no. The people who believe in this, the people who support this kind of FCC non-compliant word is just, for me, it's the highest form of hypocrisy. I have no respect for it. And you can never justify it to me why you're all right to do it. Your guys are okay to do it. But the moment that anyone else steps in, well, that's highway robbery. They're stealing elections, Jane.
I wish we could just all agree, both sides. I don't understand why we cannot agree that this dark money should be gotten rid of and Citizens United should be overturned.
Yeah.
That would alleviate a lot of these arguments.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, their side has all of that money that they can spend every single election cycle, and every election cycle. Now, I'm not talking about presidential. They're dumping hundreds of thousands of dollars into school board races.
Yeah.
So of course they don't want that. Their guys have the money. Their guys have all the money. So of course it works for them.
One other side note, quickly before we get to the news, Elon Musk claimed that there are hundreds of 150-year-olds who have been receiving Social Security benefits. Yeah, that's not a thing. That actually is not a thing. Apparently, the Social Security system uses a different kind of coding than Elon's 19-year-old minions are familiar with. And so, yes, the Social Security rolls need to be updated and all of these things. But for one thing, Social Security cuts off benefits at 115 years old.
Also, 150-year-olds, we know about that on the news.
I know, but that's what they're saying. So anyway, after spreading this for 2 days, which went all over the right-wing sphere, that's not accurate. Call me shocked. News.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't tell me that he's smart anymore. You can't tell me that. He's not.
News is coming up next. When we return, Representative Mark Pocan will be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Vast, statewide, countrywide. If you have the app, yeah, we're global, baby. Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Richland County is currently dealing with what to do with the now empty college campus. The County Board of Supervisors developed a campus reconfiguration committee to research possibilities. A firm was brought in to evaluate the state of all the buildings, and unfortunately, the news was not good. The state passed legislation to award $2 million to close campuses, but unfortunately, that is just a drop in the bucket for what Richland County needs to make the buildings viable again. Assembly Representative Tony Kurtz was one of the authors of the bill to reimburse closed campuses. He took a tour of the UW-Platteville Richland campus last week with County Board Chair Dave Turk.
I was a little disappointed on the way UW, and I'm actually being very kind when I say disappointed. UW left a mess out there, to be very honest with folks. And so I'm actually going to have a meeting with UW Assistant President Mr. Rothman next week concerning that, because it is entirely unacceptable, the mess they left out at that campus. And I am being very kind with my words right now, because when I got done touring the facility, I was actually pretty livid because... what they left out there. It's like, you know, when COVID hit and everything basically shut down, it kind of looked like one day they were working and the next day they just literally walked out. And it's like you could go back and start teaching a class there right now. And it's just very disappointing the way UW System left that facility right now.
Kurtz was on WRCO's morning show with host Phil Nee. He was asked what his suggestions to Rothman may be.
First of all, they need to clean their mess up. I mean, I think that's job number one, just the way they left it. And we'll go from there. I got probably 50, 60 photos on my phone that I'm going to share with Mr. Rothman about what they did out there. But I think they need to do a lot more than they're doing right now, that's for sure.
For WRC
on your
News,
entertainment
I'm
beat,
Joanne
I'm Pete Schwabe. The British Oscars, also known as the BAFTAs, which stands for British Academy of TV and Film Awards, aired Sunday night, and the show's award winners will only keep people guessing who will take home Oscars as we get closer to the Academy Awards. Conclave took home Best Picture, which surprised critics as it hadn't really won much on other award shows. Variety reports that Conclave beat out The Brutalist and Anora, which had recently been gaining momentum after winning the Critics' Choice Awards, Directors Guild and Producers Guild Awards. Members of the Hollywood Press say this will give Conclave momentum heading up to the Oscars on March 2nd, as there is quite a bit of crossover between BAFTA and Oscar voters. Taking home the Best Actor at the BAFTAs was Adrian Brody for his performance in The Brutalist, Mikey Madison won Best Actress for Anora, and in the Best Supporting categories, it was Zoe Saldana winning for her performance in Amelia Perez, and Kieran Culkin surprising people by winning for his performance in A Real Pain. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Feeling very frigid today with high temperatures only climbing to the single digits. And with breezy winds, it'll keep us feeling well sub-zero. And tonight, another cold weather advisory goes into effect, where we'll be dipping to feeling like 25 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 4 below.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers will be here for a little Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we'll preview Governor Evers' budget address. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mock, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call and or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, coming up after 11 o'clock. We're looking forward to having him back again. James Vanderloo is going to join us. He heads up the Milwaukee branch of the OEC group, which deals with a lot of overseas companies. And we're going to be talking about tariffs and tariffs' effects on businesses and the economy and how this all kind of, yes, it will trickle down to us. The tariffs that Donald Trump says, it's a beautiful word and it's going to fix everything. So we will talk to James Vanderloo about that after the 11 o'clock news. We are waiting, I assume, for Representative Mark Pocan.
He is here.
He is on the line.
Yeah,
good morning,
on the line.
Sir. Thank you so much for joining us. The second congressional district, Representative Mark Pocan is with us. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for making time for us. I'm sure there's a lot going on in Washington, from what I understand. Representative, I did want to start off, though. I think there's a lot of frustration among Democratic voters who feel like there hasn't been enough of a response from Representative Democrats to push back on all of the things that Donald Trump has done in just the first couple of weeks of his administration.
You know, I think across the board, we need to do more. And I don't just mean elected officials. I mean, the groups that are doing great work on litigation, we also need a national march. We haven't had one this time. We did with Trump the first time he was around. We had 200 locations around the country. We had tens of thousands of people show up in Wisconsin alone. We need that desperately, not the little pop-up ones we're having now. We need to get the message out. And I can tell you from being home, you know, it's not about waste, fraud, and abuse. It's about a $4.7 trillion tax cut for Elon Musk and Donald Trump, and those can afford to belong to Mar-a-Lago. That's what they're doing. They're literally stealing from the middle class and those aspiring to be in giving it to the wealthiest. And we have to make it that simple. I think, you know, the problem is they've flooded the zone. We're talking about lots of different issues. But the umbrella of all these issues is that this is about stealing money from the middle class and giving it to people like Elon Musk, who now has controls of federal spending. So I think, you know, that really is a part of it. But, you know, one of the hardest things is when you walk past media in D.C. and they don't want to talk to you because they're waiting for a Republican to talk to. We need to be able to get this out. And that's part of what I'm doing this week while I'm back home in Wisconsin.
Well, we certainly appreciate that. I mean, messaging is very important, and it pains me to admit this, but Jesse Waters on the network that was fined nearly $1 billion for lying to its viewers actually said something last night that I agree with, and I think Democrats need to listen and perhaps learn from this. Calvin, can you please play that clip?
It's not really the same. Dana, we are waging a 21st century information warfare campaign against the left, and they are using tactics from the 1990s. They are holding tiny press conferences, tiny little rallies. They're screaming into the ether on MSNBC. This is what you call top-down command and control. You get your talking points from a newspaper, and you put it on the broadcast network, and then it disappears. What you're seeing on the right is asymmetrical. It's like grassroots guerrilla warfare. Someone says something on social media, Musk retweets it, Rogan podcasts it, Fox broadcasts it, and by the time it reaches everybody, millions of people have seen it. It's free money. And we're actually talking about expressing information. They are suppressing information. If you, it's not really the same.
I don't know that about the suppressing information, but I'm curious, Representative, your opinion on that. He's not wrong. And you can say something on social media that's completely ludicrous and non-factual. And yes, then it gets picked up by some podcaster or Jesse Waters, and they broadcast it over there and it hits millions of people. And I do think the Democrats can learn something from that. Do you?
Yeah, we have. The good news is, I mean, the one thing I think that all Democrats came out of November with was we need to use alternative and social media far more effectively. 45% of undecided, or was it independent? I'm forgetting which one, but a big chunk of voters do not get their information from mainstream media. And, you know, we still have consultants buying, you know, network TV. Well, it's very profitable for consultants, but maybe it's not getting the messages across. So, you know, we just started a podcast. We've had it up for a couple weeks now with Liberty and Justice for Some, doing deep dives on topics, trying to use that format. We're doing a weekly video that wraps up the week, and I'm getting really great feedback from people in district on that because it's summarizing and putting out some of the BS fires that the Republicans have put there. So, yeah, we do need to do all of that more, and I think that message is getting out there, so all members are trying to use it. The one thing, though, that, you know, he doesn't tell you is that Elon Musk is throttling back. That's why, you know, X is a sewer, but he's throttling back Democratic content, and I've tested it myself. If I retweet New York Times or NBC, it doesn't go very far. It doesn't get right. The same penetration. If I retweet a conservative, I get all kinds of penetration. And if I don't put their hashtags in there with nothing that I'm retweeting, just put a thought, it gets great penetration. So they've lied to us, and they have actually said they have not done anything to throttle Democrats. But I think what they've done is they throttled some media, and they've throttled anything they think that goes after Donald Trump or Elon Musk. So we're going to have to get smarter to figure out how to at least use that platform.
If you're just joining us, Representative Mark Pocan is our guest from the 2nd Congressional District, talking about messaging as Democrats try and fight to get their message out. And as far as what you were just saying, Representative, anyone who has been on Twitter before Elon and after Elon certainly recognizes the changes that happened after he took over. It was not subtle.
And since November, it's even less subtle. I mean, it's really very pronounced. But, you know, that's one platform, and that's the best way of thinking about it. You know, while we still have TikTok available, but I won't even go into that whole debate, that is very powerful. Instagram is powerful. I mean, you know, Facebook, even though it's a little bit of an older demographic, is important. But it's using a mix of all the different social media and podcasts and going on Fox and, you know, in a way, flooding the media zone in a way that I don't think we traditionally have. So I think that was a fair criticism of where Democrats are at. Republicans, again, got there a little quicker than I think Democrats. But, you know, we are trying to close that gap right now. And you know, having some of our younger members, quite honestly, helping on that messaging, people like Maxwell Frost from Florida and others, I think has had a really positive effect as well.
And all due respect to Chuck Schumer, but I don't ever want to see him standing in front of a microphone, jumping up and down again, going, "We will win."
Yes, I agree with you. And, you know, part of the messaging from Democrats, they still go back to certain folks that, and again, you know, not to be ageist on this, but we have a lot of octogenarians I serve with, people in their 80s. And if it looks like the only spokespeople are their 70s and 80s, we're not talking to a big chunk of the electorate. So, you know, a lot of this is currently, you know, happening or trying to happen. The biggest thing I think is just, you know, they're flooding the zone with disinformation and misinformation, and you can chase every shiny hook and not get any penetration of your message, or we focus on really the 800-pound gorilla that's in the room, which is, this is about transferring $4.7 trillion of wealth from the middle class and those aspiring to be in the middle class to the wealthiest. And if we let them get away with this, then shame on all of us.
Well, let's look at some of the things that they are eyeing. The GOP budget bill wants to cut Medicaid and SNAP.
Now, to be fair, now this is, again, because they're great at lying. What the budget does, excuse me, is it cuts $800 billion out of the Energy and Commerce Committee's budget, and I think $300-some billion out of the agricultural budget. It never explicitly says those programs, but those are the biggest spending programs within each of those budgets. So what they're trying to do is let Elon Musk be the bad guy. Republicans will say, I didn't vote to cut X or Y, but the obvious, you know, fourth grade or could, you know, figure this out. When you look at the budgets, those are the items that are cut. So, you know, they don't tell the truth. I think we just need to be aggressive and get in their faces and say you are cutting Medicaid, which is 55% of the seniors in nursing homes, 45% of people with disabilities so they can stay in their homes. A third of kids in Wisconsin are on Medicaid, and that's what they want to cut so that Elon Musk can, you know, have one more rocket ship go into space. So I think that's how we have to make sure we're framing it and going after, you know, that and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. You know, when they went after USAID, it sounds like it's foreign assistance, but 99.9% of the food we sent overseas came from farmers in America, including in Wisconsin. And a lot of farmers are being hit by all of this. So connecting it to back home is really important.
If you're just joining us, Congressman Mark Pocan is our guest. He is with the Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, talking about all of the things going on in Washington, including Elon Musk and his Doge department, which just seems to be coming in. I would assume that you don't dispute that there are areas where we can look for fraud and waste, correct?
No one has disputes that. But you notice they're going back 20 years in order to find it in some cases. Like, this is all a pretense to find money for a tax cut for the wealthy. So I think we just, you know, don't even let them get away with this. I did a panel with some people who received Medicaid yesterday, people with disabilities. Their children have disabilities. It's the only way they can stay in home. It's the only way they can have a job. And they were saying, well, I call this stuff out. Yes. In very tiny amounts, and we should always cut that. That should be our job every single day as we're doing our budgets as members of Congress. But you don't take away an entire agency or wholesale machete programs that affect real people, because at that point, what you're really doing is stealing money from the middle class and those aspiring to be in the middle class, and you're just going to give it directly to the Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerbergs and Jeff Bezos of the world, as well as Donald Trump and everyone who belongs to Mar-a-Lago. So, again, I think just being more concrete about what they're up to and not even using their words, because it's BS, and I hate for us to repeat what they've tested and want us to do. I'm just not going to take that lure. I'm not going to put it in my mouth.
This might be a question you want to answer on the other side of the break, but going back to the information thing, is we're seeing a lot of people who are saying, well, I didn't expect that to happen. Well, I didn't think he was going to do that. I thought it was all just a game, or he was just talking big. Or there's so many people out there who are realizing this is not what they signed up for when they voted for Trump. How do we get ahead of it now? Or like, I mean, it's too late now because they have voted for him, but going forward saying, like, you know, this is how we combat the misinformation and the information, and informing these specific individuals and saying, this is how it's going to hurt you. This is how it's going to affect you, whether it's your benefits, whether it's farmers, whether it's whomever, but just really getting them in the room and saying, here is the information you need.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're going to cut VA staff for people who get health care from the VA hospitals. You're going to cut education funding, which means there's less money for public education, which, by the way, means you're going to have property tax increases because the localities are going to have to pick that up. It's explaining what all this means. People will feel it. The question is, will they feel it in time for this vote, where all we need are 3 House Republicans to vote against this largest transfer of wealth probably in United States history? That's the goal.
We're going to continue our conversation with Congressman Mark Pocan. Keep it here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
From the Center, WRCE. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join the conversation, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. We'll leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. Before we get back to our discussion with the representative, I do want to remind folks, it is dangerously cold outside. So please, please be careful. If you do have to be out, make sure you cover up, and especially your extremities, your face, your hands, your toes, and watch out for your pets as well. This is going to be with us at least through tonight and into tomorrow, but they say by Monday, it could be 40 degrees. So again, just keep that in mind as you are out and about today. We would like you to be safe. As I said, U.S. Congressman Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District is our guest. Representative, before the break, we were talking about the cuts that the Trump administration is instituting. And this headline's from the Wisconsin Examiner. I think this is really apt. Republicans worry Republican-led states will suffer from Trump's firings of federal workers. Well, did folks really think that these kinds of cuts weren't going to go across the board and that Republican-led states were going to be exempt?
That's going to keep getting out there and make it harder and harder for them to get their agenda out. But they want to do this all by April. And don't forget, right now they only have a one-seat margin in the House because of a couple of the appointments by Donald Trump. All we need, once they get to full strength, is three Republicans to have the courage nationally, not three Republicans from Wisconsin, three nationally to stand up, and some of this cannot move forward. And, you know, think of the hypocrites that they are. They're going to add $2 trillion. They're going to lift the debt ceiling so they can also fund these tax cuts. And there are people who said they'd never do that. Well, let's find out. Let's see how much of a backbone they have. Do we spend too much in their opinion, or is it all, you know, up to Donald Trump because he's the cult leader and Elon Musk is the person who bought that person into office? You know, it'll be interesting when they see the cuts at the VA and you can't get service at the hospital as easily as you had previously, or when you're paying more in property taxes because of the cuts to public education, or the farmers who are going to see multiple cuts through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program cuts and other things. But a lot of that could only happen after they've passed this. So that's the real challenge, is making sure people know what could happen if this passes, even though they haven't felt the pain directly yet.
What kinds of conversations are going on in the cloakrooms in the Capitol?
Well, I mean, the Republicans, we had a hearing last week on appropriations and a subcommittee about community colleges that had nothing to do with the reality of what's going on right now. And I kind of lost it. I kind of said, you know, look, what are we doing? I mean, you know, you guys are like parsley on a plate of a steak dinner. You know, you're acting like you're doing nothing at all while major things are happening. And that's what they're doing. They're just totally giving up Article I Constitution authority, which goes to Congress to do things. They're giving up that congressional authority to Donald Trump, and worse yet, an unelected person in Elon Musk. They're just afraid. I just don't think I could go to work every day if I was that afraid of, you know, they're so afraid of their own base. But unfortunately, we need to make them afraid of their actions. And we do that by calling members of Congress and Senate, writing to them, using the social media to get the information out. All of that is something we have to do. And if we get to having a big national rally, not these little pop-up ones, everyone show up, because we've got to show people that there's numbers who believe this.
Representative Mark Pocan is our guest from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. Greg, did you have a question?
Well, it just sounded actually similar to what you were saying about we have a Wisconsin state legislature who thinks that the most important things on the plate are things like voter ID and things of that nature, when they're not really paying attention to the most important things. And when what you just said is very telling, is about it's about being they're afraid of the base. They're afraid of, if they try to go after any of these bigger ticket items, they might get, quote unquote, in trouble with their party now. And what you're describing on a national level just sounds very, very true to a state level as well.
Yeah, and just don't forget, the national messengers, the people coming up with the messaging, are Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And the reason they're doing this is because they want a $4.7 trillion tax break. And the only way they get that is they have to steal that from programs that benefit the middle class and those aspiring to be there. And if we keep repeating that and giving proof, because luckily they're giving it to us every single day, I think we get this across. And, you know, the misinformation and disinformation that's out there, like this, you know, this idea that somehow there's people who allegedly are, has been proven by multiple inspector general reports, it's not true. But these kids who work with Elon Musk, none of which have any experience, don't know it. And they put this out there. They put out classified information on their website because they're too stupid to know the difference. This is all things that put us at risk. And all of us, doesn't matter your ideology, should be pissed off about it.
Well, and it's interesting, even Steve Bannon, of all people, pointed out that, you know, there are a lot of MAGAs who get Medicaid. Cutting that seems like a bad idea. Yeah. We're just about out of time, Representative Pocan. I see that Louis DeJoy is finally leaving. I will help you write his recommendation letter.
Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. It is the one.
Congressman Mark Pocan has been our guest. Thank you so very, very much for your time. Really appreciate it. News is coming up next. Keep it here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining the revolution this week, we've got WISDEM's Chairman Ben Wickler. Be sure to tune in.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In Saudi Arabia, U.S. and Russian delegations are wrapping up talks about ending the war in Ukraine. Not at the table and not included in the talks, anyone from Ukraine. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz says all parties will be included, including European nations.
The facts will continue to push back on this notion that our allies haven't been consulted. They are being consulted literally almost on a daily basis, and will continue to do so.
A top Hamas leader says a group will release 6 living Israeli hostages and the bodies of 4 others this week. The 6 are the last living hostages to be freed under the ceasefire's first phase. Harsh cold is descending on the upper plains and northern Rockies on the heels of weekend storms that pummeled the southeast with flooding that killed more than a dozen people in Kentucky. In Toronto, they're getting ready to brief reporters on the plane that landed upside down last night. Everyone on board survived. This is ABC News.